Our reading today is in Luke's Gospel. It is chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. Last week we considered the parable of the soils. And today Jesus, with a mighty crowd before him, he declares to them again the importance of listening well to the Word of God. And so we give our attention, as Jesus has called us to be good listeners, we give our attention to the reading and to the preaching of his word. Hear God's word now from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, nor does he put it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let us pray together. Oh Lord, without your help, we have eyes that are blind. Without your help, we have ears that are deaf. Without your help, we have hearts that are hard. Without your help, we have hands and feet unwilling to serve you. So we ask for your help. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your spirit. Make us alive. Unstop our ears. Uncover our eyes, soften our hearts, and make our hands and feet ready to run with the good news of the gospel into this dark and dying world with the hope of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. There are two kinds of people in the world. Now, some of you are thinking there's Republicans and Democrats. No, there's two kinds of people in the world. There are those who don't listen to God's word. They don't listen to God's word because they're dead in their sins and trespasses. They don't listen to God's word because they are superficially nodding to God, to Christianity, to religion, but with no heart change. The rains come down. The floods come up. And because their house is not built on the rock, it is destroyed. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who do not listen to God's word, but there are also those who do listen to God's word. And they listen because they have been made alive in Jesus Christ. They have been raised up by the Holy Spirit and filled, and they take care to hear. They take care to believe, and they take care to obey the word of God. The rains come down. The floods rise up, and their house stands because it is built on the rock. Jesus is telling this lesson. He is preaching this sermon to massive crowds who have come out to hear him. They've come out to the Galilean countryside to hear Jesus. They've heard about him. They've heard the stories of healings and spirits being cast out. They've heard of his wise words proclaimed from the lips of a carpenter's son. They've come, and he's explaining to his disciples, not everyone hears. Not everyone hears. Isaiah had the same ministry. You'll go to people who have eyes but don't see. You'll preach to people who have ears but they're stopped up. You'll preach to people whose hearts are hard and do not have a softness toward the word of the living God. The parable of the soils we considered last week, Jesus says the seed is the gospel. Some of it falls on the path around the field. Some of it falls among the rocks that were cast out so the soil could be cultivated. Some falls in the briars. The seed that falls on the path is snatched up by the birds. It's like Satan snatching the word from us where we cannot hear it and receive it. The seed that passes or that falls upon the rocks, it sprouts up quickly, but because it has no roots and no moisture, it fades away. And the seed that falls among the thorns is choked. It does not grow. into maturity. And it's like the cares of this world that help us, that keep us from seeking first the kingdom. But Jesus says the good seed, the gospel, falls on the good soil. And the good soil is those who hear the word, they take care to hear it, and they treasure it, and they believe it, and they obey it. And it produces some 20, some 60, some 100-fold. And Jesus was teaching his disciples, he's teaching us to be good soil, to hear the word, to hold it fast in our honest and good hearts and bear fruit with patience. What does the word of God look like in the Christian life? What does the word of God look like in the life of a true disciple? What are the benefits that we can receive from the scriptures? Think for just a moment, if you will, before we land on Jesus' teaching here about the word of God benefiting people in the Bible. Adam and Eve had Jesus, or they had God the Father walking with them in the garden. They had his direct revelation. No pages of scripture, but the very voice of God himself. Moses met with God face to face. Moses received the word and put it on tablets and delivered it to Israel. David, who was a poet, who was a man after God's own heart, who wrote much of the book of Psalms. He met with God in a special way. The prophets, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And they said, "Thus says the Lord to the people of Almighty God." And when there was a prophet in the land of Israel, there was feast. But without the prophets of God, when God removed his prophetic vision, it was famine. And God says over and over in the scriptures, there is a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of God because of your disobedience. And so we live in a long line of Christian heritage, of godly heritage, where the word of God dwells among us richly and plentifully. But what really matters is how do you hear it? What kind of listener are you? After all, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who hear the word of God, and there are those who do not. We who live in 2019, who have our copies of God's word, many of them, we have them on our phones, our tablets, on the bookshelves at home, coffee tables. There are many in the pew racks in front of us. We live better than people of any other age. For Jesus was speaking to a people of oral tradition. They had to hear and they had to remember what was spoken from the word of God. But we also, in addition to these wonderful copies of God's word that we have Jesus, the living word. Israel did not. And we are part of the church throughout the ages who have the voice of Jesus. So, are you a serious listener? Are you a student of the word? Are you a doer of God's word? Well, let's look at Jesus' teaching today and see how he can help us, how he can bless us, how can he can encourage us and nurture. I want to speak of four things God's word will do for you. God's word first will make an evangelist out of you. God's word, verse 16 tells us, will make an evangelist out of you. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a stand so that those who enter see the light. You understand, Jesus is speaking of a culture without electricity, right? We're just really 100, 125 years into the modern era. When my wife's grandmother, a couple years ago, turned 100, the kids asked her, "What's the greatest thing you have seen come to pass in your lifetime?" And she said it was when the electric company ran a wire down the road in West Tennessee, out near Memphis. And they had a light in their house. Some of you call your power bill the light bill. You remember when that was all it powered. And Jesus is speaking to a culture where it was by lamplight. It was an oil lamp. It was a light in the house. Some of you have camped. You know what it is to be with a flashlight only. You have to shine it this way and that way. And now we live in these LED lighted homes where there's light everywhere. There are really no shadows. And so Jesus says, God's word will make an evangelist. God's word will make an evangelist out of you. Because we do not put the light under something. We put it on a stand for all to see. Word of mouth does a lot of good, doesn't it, for advertising? I mean, it's by word of mouth we find out about the best ice cream shop in town. It's by word of mouth that we find out a new store is opening up. It's by word of mouth we find out that the newest restaurant is really a good place to eat and it's friendly to your budget. It's by word of mouth we find out good things. We also wear our brands. We wear it across our chest on our t-shirts. We put it on stickers on the backs of our cars. People know if we love UNC or Harley Davidson or the Blue Devils or Simply Southern or whatever brand name is we love, we wear it. We stick it across the things that we drive. And converts to the gospel of Jesus can't wait to tell others about the gospel. They can't wait to tell the good news. They can't wait to say, this is who Jesus is and what he has done for me. I hope you'll love him and have faith in him too. I was reading a biography over the last 6 months, and another pastor and I would read this biography a chapter at a time. We'd get together monthly to drink coffee and discuss it. And the biography was of a minister named Robert Murray M'Cheyne, who was in Scotland some couple hundred years ago. And he was a man known to be dedicated to the Lord. In his young age, he died at the age of 30 or 31 after a very hard and short ministry. But he was very dedicated to the Lord personally, but he was also very dedicated to the Lord in ministry. And he says something in his biography that really struck me. It's one of those things, not only do you underline it with a pen, but you highlight it and you put a sticky note in it so you can turn right to it and see it. He said this, "I wish as a minister of the gospel, I could all over again become effectually called," mean to be preached to be empowered and raised up by the Holy Spirit and given new life all over again so that I could preach the gospel to my countrymen with zeal. What a saying that is. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what is he really saying? He's saying, there are some days I feel hard-hearted, cold-hearted, indifferent. And yet Jesus has saved me. We talk in here sometimes about how saved people do what? They sing. Saved people also tell the gospel. The word of God will make an evangelist out of you. And so if God has lighted a lamp in your heart with the gospel, he has brought you from darkness to life, from death to life, then you need to stand up on a stand and shout from the mountaintops that there is a Savior and that there is a gospel. And that there is salvation in only Jesus and in him alone. So as you get around the community, as you have people enter into your life, and it may be the people who are close to you, or you may be one who is out and about town and community, let me ask you this. Do people see the light? The word of God will make an evangelist out of you. But God's word will do a second thing. God's word will show you what you're actually made of. That's what verse 17 teaches us. God's word will show you what you're made of. Verse 17 says this, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Several years ago, about 10 years ago, I think it was, I had an MRI. That's an experience. You go into that machine, and for me, I shut my eyes and I breathed real deeply, and I never opened my eyes till I got pulled out of that drawer. But while you're in there and that thing is figuring out what's wrong with you, for me, I was greatly dehydrated and suffering from some massive headaches, couldn't function, and so they were trying to see what was wrong with me. They probably found out what was really wrong with me because that thing could see everything. But you're in there and it sounds like you're laying in a construction zone on the highway and the jackhammers and all that sound is there. And if that's not bad enough, you get a bill for it later. But it sees inside you. It sees what the human eye can't see. It sees what the physician guesses is wrong but needs to confirm. And we have x-rays for broken bones. We have PET scans for cancer. We have all these machines that can, well, they can see inside us. God's word does that. But God's word does it way, way better. God's word, verse 17 teaches us, it will show us what you're actually made of. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "God's word is living. God's word is active. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And what God's word does when it engages in your life is it pierces. It pierces into the division of soul and spirit. It pierces into the division of your joints and your marrow. Now, don't think too much about that, but what it's saying is God's word, it gets in you and it exposes you. And it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word is that powerful. God's word is that amazing. God's word is that penetrating. God's word is that revealing. Jesus says here in verse 17, "Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known or come to light." Are you a listener of God's word? Are you one who lets the word do its work? Is it exposing to you your sin, your shortcomings, your weaknesses? And is it showing you not only your folly, but God's wisdom? We were told early on with having kids, your job as a parent is to drive out the folly from your children, drive out the foolishness. But it's not enough to do that. You also have to put in wisdom. And so parenting, and really the same sanctification, growing as a Christian, is having the folly, the foolishness driven out of your life by God's word. And you replace it. You replace it in your heart with wisdom. And that's what the word will do. It will show you where you're a gossip. It will expose where you're a slanderer. It will show your hatred towards your fellow man. It will show your murderous thoughts. It will show your lust. It will show everything about you, and it will expose you. And Jesus says, if it's hidden, it'll come out. If it's tucked away, it will be exposed. And so the word of God, as we listen to it, as we let it do its work in our lives, it can do mighty things, including showing what we're actually made of. My mother, when I was a little kid, used to tell us, she had eyes on the back of her head, didn't you? And we believed her. And somehow she knew things. Somehow she figured it out. Now that I'm a parent, I know her secret. But it scares the kids. Got eyes on the backs of the heads. But should we not be more fearful of Jesus, who in our study of Revelation on Sunday nights, we've recently discovered that Jesus, when he comes to the seven churches, he gives a little explanation of part of his character. And Jesus, in one part, is the one who has eyes like a flame of fire. My mother never said that. Jesus has eyes like a flame of fire. He sees, he knows, he exposes. And what you think is hidden, it'll come to light. Who you really are will be exposed. Jesus will unmask you. He will unmask you. That's what hypocrisy is, isn't it? It's wearing a mask. It's pretending. And the word of God will take that mask off. And so as we grow together in grace, as we walk together in the Lord, as we grow in the ministry of the word and the spirit, and Jesus changes us day by day, we become unmasked. And that's the painful part about being a Christian, isn't it? Sometimes as we live together in Christian community, and it could be the church, it could be marriage and family, if you're seriously walking with the Lord and growing, your sin will be exposed to others, but so will theirs. And we know this, and we're gracious, and we're kind. We grow together even in the hardships of sanctification and our exposure of our hypocrisy. God's word, as we hear it, it reveals. And we ought to repent. We ought to turn. And we ought to walk with the Lord. God's word will make an evangelist of you. God's word will also show you what you're actually made of. There's a third thing. God's word will determine your eternal blessings or curses. That's what verse 18 teaches us. God's word will determine your eternal blessings or curses. Look at verse 18. Jesus says, "Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." We aim to do what will bless us. We eat right. We exercise. We take our vitamins. If the doctor prescribes a pill or offers a surgery, we do it. We will go after any regimen that will help us better our lives, and we'll go after it with zeal and gusto and energy. In fact, we'll become obsessed with it. And just today, riding up Edgewood Avenue, the same people I always see are out running. And I see those people not only running on Edgewood, I see them on Shadowbrook, I see them on Church Street, I see them in the neighborhoods. People are serious about running. People are serious about exercise and health. And you know what the Apostle Paul says? Physical training is of some value. It's not a bad thing. But spiritual training has eternal value. God's word will determine your eternal blessings or curses. The word of God will bless us. You know the commandments God says to the children of Israel, the children of the children of Israel. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. Disobey your parents, children. It will not go well with you. Not just parents angry, not just earthly fatherly discipline. It will not go well with you, God says, for generations. Obedience to the word, obedience to parents, obedience in the life of the church will determine our eternal blessing. The word of God, if we obey it, if we heed it, we will be blessed. It will go well, but we will be cursed if we do not. That commandment to the children, just by way of example, says, but curses on the generations that come after you for disobedience. The word of God will bless us. And so when the word of God is proclaimed, let it not fall in the path and be snatched by Satan. Let it not fall among the rocks and be a rootless plant. Let it not fall among the thorns and be choked out by worldly cares. But blessed is the one who hears the word and treasures it. And it falls on good soil and it grows and produces salvation, faith, strength, and love. And goes on to bless us not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. Today's a good day for self-examination. Oh Lord, let your word do its work. Let it be evident to me that if I hear and believe and obey, not only can I have salvation through faith in Jesus, but I can know my marching orders to live until I make it safely home to heaven. We desire blessing. We desire growth, and we want eternal consequences. This morning, I was out walking the dog, and as I crossed my lawn, I noticed that my crabgrass is back. Now, I've been doing my fertilizing and weed killing myself, and so up until this morning, I was really happy. I was going to Home Depot and buying the stuff. It was working, but the crabgrass is back. And a few minutes later, a little bit later, as I was down the street with the dog walking, I got to thinking, do I care more about the crabgrass in my lawn or the sin that has taken root in my life? It's a revealing question, isn't it? And I can tell you, sometimes I'm more concerned about the crabgrass. How about you? Jesus says, God's word will determine your eternal blessings or your curses. He says it will show you what you're actually made of. He says it will make an evangelist out of you. There's a fourth thing. A final thing, we find it in verses 19 to 21. God's word will reveal your family connection. Jesus tells us, or Luke tells us, that Jesus' mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. He was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They desire to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. God's word will reveal your family connection. Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. There's a family resemblance. If you're going to be like Jesus, you live like Jesus. You love and seek to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Last Sunday night, we had a sick child and mom stayed home with him. And so the girls and I had a Dairy Queen date. We went down to Dairy Queen and we walked up to the checkout lady. And I think she was looking at me and saw my daughters. And she says, man, you have thick jeans. And she was meaning my girls look like me. Heaven help them. But that's what Jesus is teaching here. If you want to look like Jesus, you need to hear the word. And you need to obey the word. You know, we live in such a time where we come to church. We're members of a church. We can recite our stats of how involved we've been in the church, and all those are wonderful things. But if you want to bear the family resemblance, you need to hear the word of God and do the word of God and look like Jesus. The Word of God tells us to be conformed, not to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind so that we can be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Adam failed to do what God commanded. And all of us born in Adam are born in sin and trespasses, but as we are the new humanity raised up by Jesus, we're to no longer look like Adam, weak and sinful, but we're to look like Christ, holy, obedient, and triumphant over sin and death. Hear the words of Jesus today. Take care how you listen. Let us pray together. Our Lord and God, we thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus. And we want to say as we sing from time to time, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Oh Lord, we are restless. We are wanderers. We are east of Eden in the wilderness until we find our rest in Jesus. And it's not just a one-time rest, but it's a lifelong rest where we continually come to Jesus. We come in faith, and we come to find rest in the midst of our weary and tiring world. So help us. Help us in this great endeavor. We need your Spirit. We need your blessing. And we ask for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.